grab the Bibles in the seats in front of you, unless you brought your own. And I want you to open to the New Testament book of Mark. Mark. There are four kind of biographical looks at Jesus' life: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Mark is the second in our Bible. As you turn to chapter 4, and if you have the church Bible, it's on page 816. You know, these four authors, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, did not get together and say, hey, you know, let's write a biography about Jesus. Well, I don't really agree with you. Well, I want to put some. It didn't happen that way. They were four disparate writers. They wrote at different times. They had different audiences. They had a different purpose for why they were writing. And if you compare them, you can kind of begin to see the differences. For instance, Matthew is very Jewish. Matthew starts with Jesus' genealogy. Well, Jesus was begat by Joseph, and Joseph by this. And it traces all the way back to Abraham, because, of course, Jews were very interested in that. Mark, however, is the shortest of the four. Mark doesn't give a lot of details. When you read through, his stories are kind of quick. He uses the word a lot, like suddenly or immediately. As you read through Mark, you just sense that things are happening very fast in the ministry of Jesus Christ. Most scholars also think that Mark was the first of these four written. They do that by kind of comparing the other books, and a lot of them have the same things that are in Mark. Let's say Matthew and Luke both have the stories from Mark, but then some of them have different stories from each other. So they think Mark was one of the early ones. Who was this Mark? Well, most scholars believe that he was, if you remember, we talked some weeks back about Paul and Barnabas were the kind of the missionaries that went out and started planting churches. And they took this young man named John Mark with them. He was kind of from an affluent family. We think his mother may have been one of the early followers and supporters of Jesus. And this young man had shown a lot of potential. So he started traveling with Paul and Barnabas. And we're not sure what happened, but he gave up somewhere on the journey. He got sick or he got scared as they were getting beat and stoned. But he deserted them. And Paul was angry. Even years later, Paul was like, we're not taking Mark again. He deserted us once. Once is enough. If he doesn't have the fortitude to serve it out for Christ, we're not going to take him again. And so Barnabas and Paul split up. Barnabas said, I'm going to give him another chance. So Mark went on, and Mark was part of that early missionary days, and he was part of an early family that had seen the life of Jesus Christ. And somewhere early on, this well-educated young man began to write down what possibly some of the things he remembered from seeing Jesus as a young boy, possibly things his mother had told him, interviewing some of the other disciples that he had been with, and he began to write them down. That's the book we have today called the Book of Mark. We're going to look at a story today that, if you've been in church for any amount of time, you've probably heard or maybe even seen pictures of it. I still have a picture of it in my mind from Sunday school years ago, and let's just read it and then we'll come back and talk about it. Mark chapter 4, beginning with verse 35. On that day when evening had come, he said to them, he being Jesus, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But Jesus was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, Teacher, don't you care that we're perishing? And he woke up and rebuked the wind and the sea, said, Peace, be still. Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great awe, and they said to one another, Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Some of you know the story, but it was almost 8 years ago in about another month that my doctor came into a room very unexpectedly. I was in a busy day. My father was out in the car with the engine running because I'd gone in for this quick checkup. And we had stuff to do, tapings to do that afternoon. And so he didn't even come in with me. He was out in the car. He said, hurry up and I'll be waiting in the parking lot. So I'd done this test and the doctor came back in. And I'll never forget is the door opened and he's walking in and I'm dressed and my jacket back on. And he's still reading the chart. And the first things out of his mouth were, well, yes, you do have cancer. And I don't know what the next thing he said is, because I'll never forget kind of the incredulous shock that came at me. I thought, all these thoughts. I thought, wait a minute, this is not how this happens. First of all, I didn't know I was coming in here to be checked out for cancer. Secondly, you just can't come tell me, yes, you have cancer, like we had talked about this. Thirdly, you can't know I have cancer. I mean, don't you have to, like, cut me open and check something? What? I mean, all that's going through my mind as he finishes walking in and the door shuts. And I'm still looking at him when he looks up to me and says, so we should talk about chemotherapy and scheduling surgery. And I remember just putting my hands up, I'm like, whoa, back up. I really was just totally taken by surprise. There are those moments in life where out of nowhere, a storm just slams against you. That's kind of the nature of storms. Some of them nowadays with meteorologists, we get a little bit of warning. But think about, for most of civilization, not having Channel 7, not being able to look online at theweather.com, you didn't know. You look out one day and it's beautiful and you think, let's go do this. And the next morning you wake up and the sky is black. We're a little more temperate here in California, but I moved here from Texas. And Texas, first of all, was so flat you couldn't see much on the horizon anyway, but because there were all these big trees. But then all of a sudden, out in the middle of a beautiful afternoon, this one cloud would start passing over. And then literally within 30 minutes, you could be in the middle of a torrential rain and storm. They just move in fast. Sometimes they move out just as fast, and other times for days you're socked in. The storms of life sometimes are a literal storm like the disciples are going through in this story. And sometimes that storm comes furious with being called in and getting a layoff notice. Sometimes it's coming into a doctor's office and hearing it doesn't look good. Sometimes it's coming home and finding a note, I'm sorry, but I had to leave. They can be many, many different ways, but I think all of us know what it's like in life to suddenly have a storm just swallow you up. And that's what's going on for these disciples right now. Let's come back to the story so you kind of understand. You know that by this time in Jesus' ministry, he's traveling and he's known now as quite the preacher. There were other preachers, and Jesus' day was kind of known for men to just start traveling if they could get an audience and being preachers and getting little crowds to follow them. But Jesus, something was different. His words weren't like the others. And so it wasn't just his family and some friends. The crowds had grown to where literally thousands of people would come out. Not just to hear him. If they knew he was going to be teaching for a couple days, they'd bring food, they might pitch tents, they'd bring the kids, and they'd come out and just for days they would camp on those natural amphitheaters, those hills that slope down to the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus would probably many times get out on one of the little skiffs or a little boat a few yards in at the sea so that his natural voice would bounce off of that still water and bounce onto those crowds that listened to him. Exhausting work. He didn't have a little headset. He didn't have a PA. He didn't have a sound man. He would just have to speak and sometimes probably wait as people would relay on to the higher masses what he was saying. And so we see many times actually in the Gospels where it says Jesus withdrew to get some rest. He was tired. And it's one of the situations we find ourselves in. They're at the Sea of Galilee. It's about 640 feet below sea level. If you ever have seen it, it's a good sized body of water, and the hills run down. They form all these little narrow ravines that kind of become like wind tunnels. And so when storms come in from the Mediterranean, that wind just begins to sweep through there and whoosh, let out across this little sea. And it's true that even to this day, sudden storms can just blow right through that little thing. So Jesus says, come on, guys, disciples, I need to take a rest. Let's get in the boat. Let's cross over to the other side. So they get in the boat. Jesus obviously goes right to sleep. He's gone. It's been a hard day. He's been preaching. People have been coming and want him to minister to their sick children, answer questions. He's sleeping. And somewhere in that journey, as they're trying to get across the sea, out of nowhere comes one of these storms. It had seemed like a great day. Things were going well. Jesus wants some rest. The disciples are ready to get on the other. And all the things they had to worry about when the crowds were around, don't get too close. People are hungry, sick kids. This one's bleeding. This one has to be carried. This one's not breathing well. Jesus, can you please see this one before you see that one? They're ready for a break too. And all of a sudden, lightning, thunder, wind. And it says literally that the boat begins to be swamped with water. These guys are going down. And it's so interesting to me. I remember one of the first times as an adult I read this story, it bothered me. And it really did. I don't remember what I was going through in my life, but it must have been something I could relate. Because when it said, the storm and the wind is coming, and they're scared, and the waves are coming over the boat, and what is Jesus doing? Sleeping. Now, I don't know if you've ever been at that moment, but I felt like I've been there before. When I want to say, when I wish I could just walk up to God and shake Him and say, do you not know that I am going through a storm? Do you not know that my life is falling apart? Where are you? It just seems like God is sleeping. I mean, all hell is breaking loose and you're like, God, I can't find you anywhere in my life right now. Shortly after that time, I just spoke about, I remember being in my car on mission, on 805 of that bridge that goes over Mission Valley, and tears in my eyes. And I remember I was going through such a hard time. And I remember crying and saying, God, I'm a preacher and I know I shouldn't even pray this prayer, but if you are real, would you just give me some kind of sign, something? Because everything in my life looked bleak. Everything seemed like the waves were crashing and the wind was buffeting, and I felt like I was about to go down for the count. And if God was around, it sure seemed like He was taking a nap, because I didn't see Him. Storms come like that, fast, unexpectedly. And they can knock you out and down fast. But I want to see several things about the storm tonight. One we've already seen. The storms of life do come usually unexpectedly and suddenly. I wish I could say that, hey, you know what, if you're a follower of Christ, one of the nice things is that He's going to send you a little postcard before those things happen. He's going to say, postcard from heaven delivered by Gabriel the Archangel, that get ready because next year you're going to have a crisis in your life. Doesn't happen that way. I think, and we'll see it a little bit later, I think sometimes when you look back later, you might see how God was kind of preparing you for that, but you usually won't see it at the time. They come unexpectedly. They come furious. But here's the first thing I want you to realize. Nothing has caught God by surprise. Oh, it might have caught you by surprise. You might have been unexpecting that news. You might not feel that you have been prepared for what has just been unleashed in your life. But you have to rest upon the fact that nothing caught God by surprise. Jesus doesn't seem worried. Jesus is sleeping peacefully through this storm. It's interesting. When they wake Him up, several things happen. But they wake Him up, they're like, Jesus, why are you sleeping? Don't you know that we're drowning? And He wakes up, and I love His reaction. So He asks a question, makes a statement, and then some things. But look back in this. Teacher, don't you care? I love that personal nature. Do you hear them? Teacher, Jesus, I guess you don't even care. Now, they could have just said, hey, Master, could you wake up and kind of deal with the situation? We're about to go down. But it becomes a very personal thing. Don't you even care? Don't you have feelings? Don't you know what we're going through? Hey, you know what? In times of crisis, beware, because your emotions are going to be raw. People who are loving people and around people and working with people who are going through storms, beware. They will be literally very vulnerable, their emotions, their feelings, what they're going through. What they say to you, you probably need to put into context of what they're going through. The way they react, put it in context of what they're going through. Because when the storm hits, everything becomes very personal. Jesus, don't you care? Of course He cared. They saw His life. They knew how He provided. They knew how He's taught them, that He loved them. But all that seems a little hollow when you're just scared whether you're going to make it through the next day. Jesus, don't you care? Jesus gets up, and I love this. So as He woke up, He rebuked the wind, said to the sea, peace be still. He didn't talk to Him yet. Well, let's take care of matters first. But then He says to them, why are you afraid? This is the hard part for us to hear while the storm is still going on. When He says, Mark, as Mark says, but my life, Mark, why are you afraid? Why are you doubting? Because I answer that question though in your life when you're going to find out some things. Well, because I see, because I feel, because I don't. But what do you know? That God is in charge. that God's love for you does not fail, that God sees what you... But see, we tend to live in what we can see and what we can feel. So when your situation looks and says and feels and acts like it's hopeless, we tend to believe that more than believing what we say that we believe about God. That He loves, that He cares, that He will guide us, that He will walk with us, that He will take care of us. Because in the midst of a storm, it's awfully hard to reach down inside and grab onto what we believe when what we feel and see and hear is something different. But my friends, that's what it comes back to, that little word that we talk about in church called faith. That author of Hebrews has said, let me tell you what faith is. Faith is the believing that it has happened when it hasn't yet happened. Faith is the evidence of something even though you haven't seen it yet. Faith is saying, God, in my life, I don't know how I am going to face tomorrow. I don't want to get out of bed tomorrow. I don't know what the doctor is going to say. I can't face another surgery. I don't know how I'm going to save this house from foreclosure. But down on the inside, what I know, or what I always said I've known, is that God can get me through this. But the disciples were right where you are or where we have been or where we will be. Their situation, their circumstances dictating now their beliefs rather than that still small voice inside. So Jesus says to them, why are you afraid? Something you need to realize in the midst of your storm is not only do they come suddenly, not only that they didn't take God by surprise, but you do need to realize that in your storm, God has a purpose. Jesus had said to them, let's go to the other side. There was a direction they were traveling. Jesus knew where he was going to get. Yes, a storm comes up, it interrupts, and there's things that are going on now. But they need to be remembered, wait a minute, Jesus, the Son of God, God has spoken in my life that there's a purpose. And in the midst of your trial, in the midst of your crisis, God is doing something. There's a purpose. Now, I warn you, if you try to find it right then, you're probably just going to get more frustrated. For most of us who've been through those things, it's usually on down the line that you can look back and say, wow, I see the hand of God. I see the purpose. I look back at that moment crossing over the bridge in Mission Valley, and I remember acutely how I felt. And I remember acutely in the months afterwards where I thought, okay, God, I gave you your chance. It must not be real because you didn't do anything for me. You didn't even let me know you were there. Probably 2 months after that, this man sitting right back here in fourth row, Gary, I met him accidentally, and he says, hey, we're going to visit this church tomorrow, Pacific Beach. I'm like, oh, my God, a church. God had his chance. He ignored me. I did. I remember saying, in fact, I said to somebody, I said, well, I don't know, but if God is real, he doesn't care about me because he hadn't answered my prayer. And he invited me, and I came begrudgingly, and now here I am on Sunday night, 5 years later, preaching a Sunday evening service. But I look back, and I realize, no, you know, he didn't wake up in the way I wanted, and he didn't do something. I didn't know even what I was expecting. I mean, send an angel to my windshield or something, say, hello, he's real, you know. It didn't happen that way. But I look back now, and then I remember the people and the situations and the events that God did begin to prepare and did begin to unfold. For these guys, was it scary while they were going through that process? Yeah. What were they feeling until Jesus finally calmed the storm? Scared to death, insecure, doubtful. We feel all of that. But you need to know that not only is God not been caught by surprise, but that God has a purpose he's working out in your life for his glory. And secondly, that the storms of life reveal, one, the nature of your character, and two, the measure of your faith. I'll say that again. The storms in life reveal the strength and the nature of your character, and they reveal the measure of your faith. It's one thing to stand up and say, oh, you know, I'm a disciple of Christ, I love the Lord, I'm faithful, I'm a good... That's nice when everything is going really well in your life. When everything is, the kids are all doing well in school, all the bills are paid, you're healthy in your body, you have a nice vacation plan this summer, all of that. It's when all of that goes awry, where suddenly all the things you've been saying, well, I'm a Christian, I got a bumper sticker, honk if you love Jesus. I have a Bible with my name on it, okay? But all of a sudden when crisis hits you, when the storm comes, that's when you really begin to display, have you really been molded into the character of Christ? Not in the easy times, but when all hell breaks loose, are your neighbors then looking at you thinking, wow, something different, because if I was going through that, I don't think I could make it. Your family who watches you and they don't maybe understand your commitment to Christ, but when they see the character, make it through that hard time, when people are talking about you and people are abusing you and people have maligned you and yet you don't retort and you don't answer back and you don't get ugly back, that's when people around you say, wow, there's something different about Phil. Something real about his religion. It's in those crises that the beauty of your Christian faith is revealed. And also, frankly, how strong the measure of your faith is. It is so easy to sit in church and sing a song like, you know, God can do anything. He has all power. But boy, you lose your job and where's God? Oh my God! Wait a minute, I thought you just sang on Sunday morning, you know, that he was the omnipotent creator of all that is. Can't he take care? Yeah, but I don't know how. That's the time for your faith to grow and say, you're right, I don't know how, but I stand in faith to believe that God will provide. Lastly, storms come suddenly. They don't surprise God. God has a purpose. They reveal the strength of your character, the measure of your faith. And lastly, storms will transform your life. There's not really a period at the end of that statement, because they can also destroy you. I'm not one of these easy believers who will say a little thing and everything's going to be all right. When you go through the storms of life, there really are going to be two ways you're going to make it through that storm. And frankly, friends, it has more to do with what you're doing through that thing, not the outside situation. You can come through a storm with Christ literally transformed. These disciples, when he finally does this miracle and they get through it, it says they were filled with awe. And they said to one another, who is this? That even the wind and the sea obey. They have a whole new understanding of Christ after this. Remember, we read backwards into the Bible. These men didn't yet understand what Jesus was going to be. They had seen things happen, and they didn't understand him, but they still are on the idea that he's going to be a Messiah and overthrow Rome, and that he's a great political leader up and coming. And all of a sudden, this Jesus is doing miracles like over nature. And suddenly, by the time they reach that other sea, through their storm, they have a complete new understanding of God in their life. You can go that direction through your storm, through your health crisis, through your divorce, through your unemployment, through your foreclosure. And you can come through that through a lot of tears and a lot of heartache and a lot of pain, but filled with faith and filled with character, and come through it and realize, wow, I do have a new bedrock in my life of faith in God, of appreciation for the way God works in my life. But you can also come through it and have lost a lot of faith and be angry. One writer said it this way. They said, storms will either deform you or transform you. You can come through them bitter. You can come through them shipwrecked. You can come through saying, I'll never serve God again. He didn't answer my prayer and my loved one died, or I lost my business and I gave to God and I gave to the church and this happened and this happened. Or you can come through and you can let the grace of God be tested and tried, but literally transform your life and your character and come through it even stronger than before. It's how you deal with it in the meantime. How you deal with it while you're walking through that storm. How do you do it? The disciples did the right thing. Jesus, wake up. We need you. The right thing to start in a time of crisis is, God, I don't understand why I'm going through this. I don't know why you're sleeping. I don't know why you're not helping me. I don't know where you are, but God, I need you. We started tonight the service doing that. As people said, my friend Leslie needs the Lord's help. Susie, Ness. God, we need you. That's that step. That's where it begins, where God begins then to give wisdom and give comfort and give peace and give the things you're going to need as you walk through the storm of life. It may not be quick and it may not be easy. But remember that even when you feel like he's sleeping, God has a purpose that he's working out. If you will make it to the end of that storm, let's pray. God, we thank you tonight for this picture disciples in a little boat being rocked about, scared to death that they were about to die, while you peacefully slept. Lord, I can't speak for everyone tonight, but I know what it feels like to be rocked about by the storms of life and feel like you're asleep. And Lord, as I face challenges in my life today and in the future and people sitting here in front of me, remind us that it hasn't caught you by surprise, that you have a purpose, that you have a plan, and that you have all the strength we need to make it through this. Lord, during this time, forge new character, build our faith, strengthen us. In Jesus' name, we ask it. Amen. Amen.